Well, if you have been with us over the last, now it's 7 weeks because of missing out last Sunday because of the snow, but you know that we've been walking through our series titled, What We Value. And this morning we're going to be wrapping up that series as we finish with our final value. Now I mentioned as we started off here that it was about 3 years ago that we started this process of planning this church. And one of the first things that we had to do was we had to come up with our core values. What would be the core values of Dallas Foursquare Church? And it was a process, as I shared, that was a lot harder than I expected it to be. As my wife and I sat down, man, we started spouting off, yeah, we value this, we value that, we value this, we value that. And we had a list of 15, 20, maybe even more, I don't remember. But we just had this huge list of all these things we value. And as we realized that we value this and we value that, we realized that if we value everything, then we really value nothing. And so because of that, we took some time to really pray and to ask the Lord to show us, what are the things that you want us to value as a church? And we ended up with these six values that you see up here on the screen. Six values that we believe are specifically for Dallas Foursquare Church. They're for this church. And we feel it's important that each of us know and understand what these values are. And that's the purpose of this series that we've been walking through. Because everything we do, every decision that we make, should be based off these core values. Because these core values are who we are. Now, so far, as we've walked through, we've hit the first five values. We've talked about the fact that we value God's Word. How important His Word, it's life, breathed to us. It's His Word. We value worship, and not just the musical aspect of worship, but the heart of worship to the Lord. We've talked about how we value obedience. You know, not just knowing what the Bible says, not just hearing what God tells us to do, but actually walking it out in obedience, to listen and obey. We talked about how we value people. My wife did an amazing job that week as we talked about valuing people and God's desire for us to love and to care and to accept people. And then a couple weeks ago, because of the snow, we talked about authenticity and how we value authenticity of being real, not putting on the masks, but coming into this place as the people that God has called us to be and being real about who we are and even the failures that we've made. Well, this week, we're going to finish up our series as we talk about simplicity. Now, the funny thing is, you would think on these lists, this whole list, that this wouldn't be true. But since we planted the church 2 years ago, this seems to be the one that has been the most challenging for people to wrap their heads around. And I think it's because it's the hardest one to truly understand. I mean, we all get that God's Word, right? It's the Bible. We get that it's important. We all get that worship is important. And even though we may not like obedience, I think we all understand, right, that it's important. We get that people are important. And even though we may struggle with being authentic and authenticity, most of us get why it's important. But I've had many people question simplicity. Really, that's one of our values? I mean, simplicity, what does that even mean, right? Well, I think we have to start by talking about what it's not, what simplicity isn't. Because a lot of people hear that word and they think it's an excuse to be lazy, right? That just sounds like laziness to me, simplicity. But I can tell you that simplicity is far from laziness. The reality is sometimes simplicity is even harder. Simplicity takes hard work. Simplicity takes discipline, especially in the world and the time that we live in today. I want to ask you guys a question here this morning. How many of you here would say that your lives were unbalanced or maybe out of balance? And what I mean by that is that you're spending too much time or too much money or energy on some things and not enough on other things. I'm talking about feeling like you spend your days going from one critical need here to the other one over here, always reacting to what seems most urgent instead of what's really important. I'm talking about trying to manage your limited resources of time and money and energy amongst a seamless, endless succession of demands, where you always seem to come up short, where you always feel exhausted, you always feel broke, always feel guilty that you're not doing more. Anyone in this room ever feel like that? Am I the only one? Okay, I'm not the only one. I think I just described a good portion of people in America, right? In this fast-paced world and society that we live in. You see, it's hard to find people nowadays who feel like their life is in balance when it comes to work and family, right? Their faith and all the other things that they have to deal with from day to day that we have to get done. Now, I think that's what we all strive for, right? We strive for balance. We all want that kind of life. A life that doesn't have us constantly trying to cram one more activity into an already busy day. A life that doesn't require explaining to the children once again why we don't have time for them right now. A life where we actually do have time for family, time for friends, and we can't forget, time for God, right? But the sad thing is, for most people, that kind of life seems like a pipe dream. Oh, wouldn't it be great? Because the life we're familiar with is one that demands more of us than we actually had to give at times. And this is why we need to be people who embrace simplicity. The problem, though, is that we have this false belief that we can somehow figure it out. We can somehow balance all these things in life. But here's the problem. The word balance, okay, when we use that word, this is what it implies. The word balance implies that we give each of these things, right? We give our work, we give family, we give God, we give whatever else we're spinning on those plates, right? We give each of these things their due time, right? The problem is, though, that in doing so, and with that approach, God gets put into the mix as just one of our priorities. And God is not supposed to be just one of our priorities. He is supposed to be our number one, the priority of our lives. You heard me share the scripture earlier in worship, Matthew 6:33. It tells us, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Seek God. He's our priority. We need to seek Him. When we seek Him first, what does it say at the end of the scripture? All other things will be added unto you. When we seek first Him and His kingdom, all other things will fall into place. This is simplicity. Simplicity is living the life that God has called us to live, not the life that our world or the people around us tell us we need to live, or not even the life that we think at times we need to live, but the life that God is telling us to live. Take a closer look at what this life looks like. You can open up your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read the first two verses here, but these two verses give us some perspective on living a life of simplicity. You may be familiar with these scriptures. This is Paul. Hebrews 12, just verses 1 and 2. This is what they say. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In these scriptures, Paul is sharing with us some wisdom on how to live our lives as followers of Christ. How to live this life that I've talked about, that God desires for us to live. And he does so by using an analogy of running a race. Now, believe it or not, the Olympics, if you've been watching the Olympics, I love the Olympics, my family, we love the Olympics. The Olympics were already a huge event back in Paul's time, okay? Back when the Christians when Paul and the Christian faith began, the Olympics were already a huge thing. And so Paul is using an analogy here that everyone in this time would be able to relate to. And as I read these scriptures, there were a couple things here that stood out to me as we talk about this value of simplicity. As we talk about living a life of simplicity. And he starts off by saying this, let us throw off everything. Everything. The Greek and Hebrew word for that is everything. Okay? All things. Let us throw off everything that hinders. And I think to fully understand this statement, we would have to know what the athletes used to wear when they competed. Okay? You may not know this, but the original Olympic athletes, when they competed, they wore nothing. Okay? They competed in the buff, basically. All right? They didn't wear anything. And this was true for most of the ancient day Olympics. I actually was reading about this and kind of checking this out, doing some studying up on this. And I read that they actually tried for a period of time to wear garments. They tried a few of the Olympics to have them wear their garments, you know. But it said that they would trip on them and they got entangled in them. And so they decided, forget this, let's just go back to how we used to do it and wear nothing, all right? And so they went back to wearing nothing. And please understand this. Paul wasn't telling the early Christians to run around with their clothes off, okay? There were enough people in Rome, I'm sure, at that time that were doing that. He was not telling Christians that. That's not what he's saying here when he's saying throw off these things. He was using it as an analogy and encouraging them to not get weighed down with things that are going to hinder your walk with the Lord. To not get entangled in things and in so much stuff that's going to weigh you down and keep you from doing what God has called you to do. Because the reality is there are so many things that can weigh us down in life. There are so many things that can drag and pull on us. We take on so many responsibilities and we complicate our lives with so many things that often we get bogged down and we get overwhelmed and we get stressed out. And then we try to use scriptures like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or God won't give us more than we can handle, which those are great scriptures when they're used in the right context. See, the problem is often we've taken on things that God didn't give us, right? God won't give us more than we can handle. But that doesn't mean that the world won't try to give us more than we can handle. That doesn't mean at times we won't take on more than we can handle. See, many of us have allowed ourselves to take on things that hinder us. And like Paul is saying, we have to throw them off. We have to learn simplicity. We have to learn to simplify. But how do we do that? What does that even mean? Right? Got a few people. Well, Paul lays it out for here when he says this. He says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. And verse 2 tells us how. How? By fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. You see, the key to living a life of simplicity is making sure that our focus is on Jesus. That we're doing what He is telling us to do, not what everyone else is telling us to do. I love 1 John 8:28. If you're not familiar with the scripture, actually, I'm sorry, not 1 John, John 8:28. John 8:28. There is no 1 John 8:28. But John 8:28, if you might be familiar with this story, Jesus is talking to some Pharisees who have been grilling Him with questions, and He makes this statement. And this is an amazing statement. He says, I do nothing on my own, and I speak only what the Father tells me to say. Wow, think about that. I do nothing on my own, and I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. What if that was true about us? What if that is how we lived our life? What if we only did and said what Jesus told us to say and do? I believe our lives would be a lot simpler. It doesn't mean it would be easy, but they'd be a lot simpler. If we want to be people who value simplicity, then I believe we have to ask ourselves a couple questions. Number one, what am I doing that I shouldn't be doing? Maybe because someone else has said, oh, I need you to do this. What am I doing that I shouldn't be doing? Or because of the pressure, oh, what will people think of me if I don't do this? How will people view me? I've got to do this. If I don't do this, who else is going to do this? What am I doing that I shouldn't be doing? And then the second question is, and what am I not doing that I should be doing? Because I'm so busy doing the things I shouldn't be, right? I think we all have to ask ourselves this question. Because the thing is, the truth is, we could be doing great things. We could be doing wonderful things for other people, but are they the things that we should be doing? If you have your Bibles, you can flip over to Luke 10. I'm going to read another bit of scripture to you this morning as we kind of begin to wrap up this message here on simplicity. Some of you may be familiar with this story. It's the story of Mary and Martha. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. Luke 10, verse 38 through 42, I'm going to read this morning. It says this. As Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him, coming to Jesus, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Martha has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Interesting thing in the scripture is that Jesus praises Mary, and in a sense, really, kind of rebukes Martha. And doesn't this seem a little bit backwards? I mean, after all, here is Martha. She's serving, right? We're called to be servants. She's busy serving and doing these great things for Jesus and for all the disciples that are there. But she was missing out on what was important. You see, Mary understood something that Martha didn't. Because Martha was so busy doing all these things, she was missing what mattered most. having personal fellowship with Jesus. Now, I share this story with you this morning for two reasons. The first reason is this, is to show you how often the things that we think are most important aren't always important in the eyes of God. Martha thought what she was doing, she thought it was important, she thought it's what she should be doing. It seemed like a good thing. She even thought it was what her sister should be doing. But Martha was missing out on what was important. What are we doing that we shouldn't be doing? And the second reason I share this story is to show that, or to show what we're missing out on when we get caught up doing the things that we really shouldn't be doing in the first place. Because Martha was so busy doing what she thought was important, she missed an opportunity to be with Jesus, to just sit and to be in His presence and to be with Him. What are we doing that we shouldn't be doing, and what aren't we doing that we should be doing? I was challenged on this the week before the snow. I went away for about 3 days to just spend some time with the Lord and prepare for this upcoming year and vision cast. And the Lord challenged me on some things, on how much I'm in His Word. And I read the Bible, I read the Word, but He said, no, Darren, besides studying for your sermon, besides, how much are you in it to be with Me and to seek Me? And I was challenged in this. What are the things that I was doing that was distracting me from doing what Jesus wants me to do as a pastor and being with Him? We learn from the Master Himself. Jesus, as He walked this earth, lived a life of simplicity. If you look at Jesus, if you look at His ministry, He knew. He knew when He needed to be ministering to the masses. He knew when to be out there and to be laying hands on people and seeing people healed. But He also knew when to withdraw and just to be with His disciples. He knew when His disciples needed that one-on-one close time with just Him. Now, were the masses still looking for Him? Yeah. Did they still have troubles? Did they still have problems? Did they still have issues? Yes. But Jesus knew when to be with the masses. He knew when to withdraw and be with the disciples. And He also knew when He needed to get away and just be with His Father and spend time with God. You see, living a life of simplicity is living the life that God has called us to live. We have a world around us that tries to tell us the life that we're supposed to live. But only we can know the life that God's called us to live as we seek Him. And here's the thing. Living a life of simplicity means we may have to set up some boundaries. And that's a hard thing. I can tell you it's not easy, and I can tell you people don't always like it. Especially when you're a pastor, okay? I know from experience. You see, contrary to what some may believe, I don't just work 2 hours a week on Sundays, okay? Youth ministry, they're like, what does the pastor do the rest of the week? You know, I had kids ask me that. I'm like, well, let me tell you. Contrary to what Sam may believe, the job of a pastor is not the easiest job in the world. You only work on Sundays. I want to read to you some statistics from New York Times. This came out August in 2010, so it's 4 years old. I imagine it might even be worse than this now, but it says this. Many pastors now suffer from obesity, hypertension, and depression at rates higher than most Americans. In the last decade, their use of antidepressants has risen while their life expectancy has fallen. Many would change jobs if they could. And then it gives you some statistics. 45% of pastors say that they've experienced depression or burnout to the extent that they needed to take a leave of absence from the ministry. 52%, that's over half of pastors, say they believe that being in pastoral ministry is hazardous to their family's well-being and health. 57% would leave the pastorate if they have somewhere else, if they had somewhere else to go or some other vocation that they could do. 75% report severe stress causing anguish, worry, bewilderment, anger, depression, fear, and alienation. 80% of pastors say they have insufficient time with their spouses. 80% believe that the pastoral ministry affects their families negatively. And then it goes on, 1,500 pastors leave their ministries each month due to burnout, conflict, or moral failure. Doctors, lawyers, and pastors have the most problems with drug abuse, alcoholism, and suicide. And I get emotional because some of these are my friends. These statistics just baffle my mind. How can a job that should be one of the greatest callings in the world, should be one of the greatest gifts, to be able to be called to be a pastor, to preach the gospel, to love people and to care for people, how can a job that should be the greatest calling destroy so many people, destroy so many pastors? And I think it's simple. It's a lack of boundaries. It's them not living a life of simplicity. It's the fear of letting people down and willingness to sacrifice your family for the calling. You see, when God called me to be a pastor, I knew these statistics. I knew them. Which is exactly why I told the Lord I wouldn't take this church at the expense of my family. And that's why I have boundaries. And they're not huge boundaries. I take Fridays off, and unless it's an emergency, you won't get a hold of me. But let me say this, if there is an emergency, regardless of whether it's 2 a.m., whether it's my day off, I will drop whatever I'm doing and I will be there. And my family knows that and understands that. But if it's not an emergency, it's going to get put on my list of many things that have to get done, and I'll get to it as soon as I can. But I have to have boundaries. And the truth is, it doesn't matter if you're a pastor. It doesn't matter if you're a teacher, if you're a garbage man. It doesn't matter if you're a stay-at-home mom. It doesn't matter what you do. The world is always going to demand more of us than we have to give. Which is why we all have to have boundaries. We have to learn this life of simplicity. And not our boundaries, but God's boundaries. What are we doing that we shouldn't be doing? What aren't we doing that we should be doing? Those are questions that we're going to ask all the time here at Dallas Four Square Church. In every ministry that we're a part of, every ministry that we do, everything that we do, what are we doing that we shouldn't be doing? What aren't we doing that we should be doing? And for us as a church, when I think about simplicity, and when I think about what does this mean for us, when we talk about Dallas Four Square Church, one of our core values is simplicity. I think it means we're going to start with our mission statement. As a church, we're going to start with our mission statement. We're called to love God and to love people. It's simple. Funny thing, I told you I struggled with the core values a little bit, but the mission statement was something that came immediately. The Lord put it in, and I kept rejecting it. Because I thought, oh man, that's just what the Bible says to do. Love God and love people. That just seems, it's not cool, it's not catchy. Like the new churches out there that have these cool mission statements. God, that's just something you've been saying for the last 2,000 years. Actually, longer than that. Way before that. Something that He's been showing us for the last 2,000 years. Loving God, loving people, it's too simple. And God says, so is the Christian walk, if we let it be. As a church, we're called to love God and to love people. And if that's all we do, then that's simply enough. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. And Lord, you know how much I struggled with this word. And it's hard. We live in a world that asks so much of us. We live in a world that wants us to do so many things. And we get caught up in that. And we wonder why our families struggle. We wonder why the divorce rates. We wonder why all these things are happening. Families falling apart. People stressing out. People hurting and struggling. It's because we let the demands of the world decide what we do, instead of just seeking you and asking you what we should do, Lord. Lord, I pray that even as we pray this morning, that you would begin to speak to hearts. What are the things that we're doing as a church and as individuals? What are the things we're doing that we shouldn't be doing, that we're doing just to appease others or because people tell us that's what we should do? But then also, what are the things we're missing out on because of it? I know for me, Lord, I've been missing out on some extra special time with you. And I need that. If I'm going to be the pastor that you've called me to be, if I'm going to be the pastor that's not going to be the statistics on this page here, Lord, I need you. I need to seek you first. Your kingdom, your righteousness, and then all other things will be added unto us, Lord. Help us, Lord, learn how to live a life of simplicity. Not laziness, not doing nothing. Doing what you've called us to do. And sometimes that's hard stuff. Sometimes that's more challenging than the things that we're doing. But it's when we do those things that those scriptures are true. That you won't give us more than we can handle. That we can do all things through you who gives us strength, Lord. Thank you for this word, Lord. May it penetrate our hearts wherever we're at. Whatever those things are, Lord. May we not think today, oh yeah, maybe there's some things, and then walk out of this place and never think about it again. May we be challenged to think, what are the things we're doing that we shouldn't be doing? And what are we missing out on the things that we should be doing? Lord, we thank you for this word. Encourage us, challenge us, help us to be the church that you've called us to be. Lord, thank you for these values that you've given us. Thank you for this time that we've been able to walk through these values and understand a little bit better who you've called us to be. Because we can't be who we're supposed to be until we know who you've called us to be. And Lord, maybe for each of us as individuals, we need to take time to pray and to seek you and say, Lord, what are your values for me as an individual? What are the things that you're wanting me to do? What is the life that you're wanting me to live? Lord, help us to do those things. Help us to be the men and women of God that you've called us to be, Lord. That don't just come on Sunday and hear the word and put on that mask where everything seems to be going great, but we're people that are seeking you. And when we leave this place, we're impacting those around us because you are alive in and through us, Lord. Let us go from this place and let our light shine for you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.